Flint, Michigan. How did a simple flip of a switch lead to a long-term public health crisis that tested the resilience of its residents? In this Science of Crime podcast series, we examine the chain of events that led to years of damage, distrust, and dirty water. My name is Ivan Knuffelmacher, and this is episode number one, where I will be examining efforts to find drinkable water during and after the Flint water crisis. By now, I imagine most people have heard of Flint, Michigan, and more specifically, the water crisis. Unless you were living under a rock in 2016, it was pretty hard to escape the media coverage surrounding the crisis. Before I started this project, I had a very surface-level understanding of what had actually happened in this post-industrial, working-class city. In this podcast, I attempt to explore the topic of water distribution and filtration, and more specifically, how residents were able to find access to something as basic as clean water. Once upon a time, Flint was a booming industrial city where General Motors employed thousands of workers. At the time, Flint had the second largest population in the state of Michigan. However, starting in the 60s and continuing through the 80s, the once bustling metropolis saw a rapid decline in industrialization and population as General Motors began to lay off huge chunks of its workforce. In my opinion, this laid the groundwork for decades of economic decline that ultimately contributed to the city of Flint's decision to change their water source.
Here's the Flint.
Flint. Here it is.
In April 2014, the local government decided to switch its water supply from the Detroit water system to the Flint River. On the day of the switch to the Flint River, officials gathered to celebrate the transition, as you just heard. At the time, the city of Flint was virtually bankrupt, and city officials figured this maneuver would save them millions of dollars annually. A major problem was that the water in the Flint River had 19 times as much acidity as that of Lake Huron, the previous water source. Even with this knowledge, the city didn't add corrosive chemicals to the thousands of lead pipes that support the city's outdated water system to prevent the lead from leaching. In turn, lead began to bleed into the city's water, affecting everything from drinking water to shower water and even causing a deadly Legionnaires outbreak.
Dogs and cats are dying. The tomatoes were turning black.
My water comes out of my faucet smelling like it came out of someone's butt.
Even as residents began to notice and complain about discolored water, smelly water, and losing hair, just to name a few warning signs, the city's leaders and the governor, Rick Snyder, were dangerously slow to take charge of the problem at hand. The residents of Flint were left struggling to find access to clean drinking and bathing water as their own government ignored their cries for help. One can only imagine the rage that the residents of Flint must have felt.
What do we want?
Clean water!
What do we want?
No!
To me, protests were a natural byproduct of frustration and fear. I'm sure it seemed as if the citizens' complaints were going completely unnoticed. Soon after the water became unusable and undrinkable, the residents turned towards bottled water as their primary water source. It took 2 whole years for the state to begin distributing water to all those in need. In 2016, a group of citizens and other groups sued the city and state officials and demanded that the city fix all the corroded pipes and provide free water for everyone. Later that year, a federal judge approved the motion and a door-to-door water delivery system was put into place. That same year, Obama declared a state of emergency in Flint, and water distribution sites were opened up around the city using emergency aid from the government and state. On the ground in Flint, the National Guard and Homeland Security were deployed. A team of emergency managers was put together to establish the bottled water system. With a bottled water system in place, residents could now provide themselves with drinking water and water for their homes. While this might have seemed like a victory in the moment, the water distribution program was stopped in April of 2018. According to Governor Snyder, the lead samples that year were below 4 parts per billion of lead, 11 parts under the federal action level. Even though officials said the water was safe, this sentiment was not echoed by the residents and community leaders in Flint. The crisis had created a deep distrust of government among the people of Flint. And for this reason, residents were not certain that the water was as clean as the governor claimed. Something else I think was at play was the financial component. The water distribution system cost the state a whopping $350 million. In order to keep the water system up and running, a tremendous amount of resources would have had to be used. After the ending of the water distribution system, many people were left with no resources for clean water. Many organizations and celebrities stepped forward to donate water bottles and resources to Flint to help with relief. I remember being in freshman year of high school and seeing the crisis take over social media and the internet by storm. I specifically remember asking my parents to donate to a relief organization we had learned about in history class. At the time, I was not aware that the water distribution service would be coming to an end. Over time, the movement picked up momentum and was amplified by many celebrities' charitable donations. Groups of actors, musicians, and comedians, including Mark Wahlberg, Eminem, Jimmy Fallon, and many others, donated millions of bottles of water. One of the most, if not the most, important tools we have to ensure that our drinking water is safe is filters. At the water distribution centers in Flint, free water filters and cartridges were distributed to the community. A particular type of filter called point-of-use filters were instrumental in helping reduce lead contamination in homes. They worked by attaching to the water source directly instead of filtering the house's entire supply of water. While these point-of-use filters distributed by the government were effective, according to Eric Roy, founder of HydroVive, there were other name brand filters that weren't as effective. I was lucky enough to interview Eric, a former Colby student and chemist with a PhD. Eric's company, HydroVive, sells highly effective customizable water filtration filters. Having done some research before the interview, I knew that these filters were extremely effective in Flint, but I wanted to know why.
One question I had was, what was wrong, per se, with the filters in Flint, and why were yours so much more effective, or what did they do differently than the filters that were in Flint at the time?
Yeah, so the way that the water filtration world works is you test the standards, and the standard for lead removal is that your filter needs to take 150 part per billion lead down below, I believe the standard is down below 10 parts per billion or something like that. There's an engineering requirement for it. But Flint's lead levels were more than double that. So that means that any water filter kind of made by Brita or Pure or any of these other manufacturers, they weren't actually designed to handle the lead levels in that water. So it's not the manufacturer's fault. They weren't designed to do that job because that's not really kind of the engineering spec for water filters. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the reason why my filters actually worked was I just increased the amount of lead removal media. You know, I kind of just, you know, when you look at a cartridge, I just put more of the stuff in that space and sacrificed like chlorine removal or something like that, you know? So it was just a design choice.
Six years after the crisis started, the city is still working to fix all of the faulty pipes that contain lead. It is estimated that around 85% of the pipes have been fixed. However, due to the coronavirus pandemic, there have been significant delays. In the subsequent years following the crisis, criminal charges have been brought against local as well as state officials. While the crisis may be over, the people of Flint have not forgotten the injustices committed against them. While the media's attention on Flint has faded and the crisis may be partially fixed for now, the bottom line is that this city was forgotten about. Once a booming industrial city, Flint has been left to fend for itself in an increasingly negligent political atmosphere. I hope that exposing this story will prevent a similar tale of neglect and failure of public policy. Access to clean water should be a fundamental human right. It's a matter of life and death.